what I have searched for, which was almost handed to me on a pot. Yeah. It's neat.
I remember exactly on that road, right there, exactly the spot where I stopped Mum the last time she tried to hit me.
Was she going to hit you?
I stopped her, and she tried to break free, and I hung on to her, and she realized I was stronger. And that was the last time. I remember it right there.
Wow. Well, you know, she was given too big a job. She wanted to have a family.
Yeah.
She wanted to have a peaceful life, just like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she thought she could do it by getting angry.
Yeah.
And she beat up on Jennifer and you and Rizzi when I was not present.
Yeah.
And I think she must live 100 deaths. Yes. Just thinking about that.
She does. She feels a guilt inside of her that she can't get rid of.
No.
I wouldn't wish that scenario on my worst enemy, actually.
Well, these are the burdens that each one of us has for some reason or other.
Mm-hmm.
Something like this that eats away at our soul. And I'm getting to the stage where I can feel compassion for other people.
Yeah.
In a way that I have all of a sudden become aware of something I should have been aware of for a long, long time, but never did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, as a husband, my job was to provide for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there to do the very best that I ever knew.
Yeah.
But it left Hillary with an impossibly difficult job.
And not to mention the loss of her direction as a person. Her loss of a career. Surely she became a mother of choice, by choice. But she would have to have given up her career, whatever it was, however, what stage
she
it was.
Loved her phys ed teaching.
Yeah. I think because she was so far away from family, she might as well have been in Norway.
Yeah.
And she must have felt a huge amount of pride in being able to get her life going and starting that far away.
And I wasn't there to be any comfort or support to her.
Well, I think you were both a product of a changing generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and Mum were the last of that traditional mother-father scenario, making Jennifer, Hillary, and I the first generation born into women's rights and civil rights in the United States, and the world being ecologically aware.
But
those things all came new.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
I think that what I'm saying is that you are products. You and Mum were products of a changing end of a generation, a long generation. And so it would be asking the moon for anything to have been different otherwise.
I had no clear awareness of what my responsibility otherwise than earning the money to keep the family going. What else I really should do? I was so exhausted by what I was trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you weren't given the example by your own parents, right?
Sorry?
You were not given the example of your own parents.
No.
Who didn't, right? So you really were blazing a path. or trying to. And then I took on that mantle when I became a father. So really, a very important period in Western civilization, I think, is the time between post-war, post-second war, and the early 1970s. I think it was a watershed period of time for many, many reasons that I've said. The more I think about it, the more all the blocks fall into place in terms of my understanding that. The world completely changed in those 20 years.
Yeah. And well, but I think that this kind of change is just accelerating.
Sure, sure. Yeah. It's
cool. And one article in The Guardian, this woman was written about the difference between the male and the female responsibility in society. She says, for sure, that the generation that is growing up today is totally different. People have completely different understandings of just about everything as a result of mother and father both working mm-hmm. out of the home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
They grow up alone. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and you can look at what the Brits did and are probably still are doing. They're sending their kids away at 7 years of age to go to school.
Yeah.
And they don't see them sometimes till they're finished graduation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that that is happening per se in the same way. I think that...
No, I think they're waking up to the fact that you can't function in society like that.
No.
But that's what
I've often thought that the single child policy in China is going to bear fruit very soon when you have an entire nation of boys who think the sun shines out of them. What a wonderful boy I am. And now you have hundreds of millions of boys who think that. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of boys who think that they are God's gift.
The women think so. That was what really got Hillary. When we went to China in 1999, she was asked, as a matter of fact, she was requested to teach English. She didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And she found out that the girls that she was trying to teach were so self-centered that they were also they were very, very privileged people.
Well, I think that that's one of the main reasons I wanted to have two children. So that I didn't have a single child who grew up thinking that it was better than anybody else.
I think to be born a single child is a travesty.
That's a curse, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel badly for the children who go up under those circumstances because they will most likely never know what they've missed.
Yeah. I look at Al Aldred from that point of view.
Mm.
He was a lone child. And he was a really lonely child.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too involved in my own journey to really understand that I had a responsibility towards him that was really very profound. But I couldn't accept the possibility of having somebody that wanted to compete with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it. I couldn't stand the thought of it.
Yeah.
We're put together. We're put together in ways that are. I don't know. we seem to have we develop a certain kind of egocentricity to provide, to be on top, to be successful, rather than learning how to live. It's just the grabble kind of experience.
I don't think it's universally like that, but it's certainly a large number and makes you notice it. I know many of the people that I work with are not like that.
No.
And I guess it depends on the circles you travel in. The people that I'm interested in that become friends are not like that. So I don't come into contact, I guess, as much. I certainly know people like that.
Yeah.
But it's the circles you travel in, the people you tend to associate with, who comprise your understanding of what's going on. It
pisses me off when I meet people now who behave dictatorially vis-a-vis others. I really get quite angry.
Sure. I can't listen to the news anymore.
No.
I really can't. It's not just being New Agey about it. I really can't listen to the news. I get so upset I can't drive properly.
That manager in the Globe and Mail sounds like a real example of exactly that.
Yeah. That's the photo editor.
No. Yeah. I can't keep my mouth shut during those situations.
I know.
I make things worse,
yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
It's interesting talking about this.
Yeah.
In a sense, we've had similar lives.
Yeah. I probably told you this before, but when I bought that house and property in Newcastle, I was the same age as you to the month.
No
that
kidding.
That you bought this property.
Is that right?
Yes. Do you think the hair stood up on the back of my neck when I realized that?
I don't think you ever told me that, or I didn't understand what you told me.
Oh my God, I'm my father.
No kidding.
Yep.
At one point I thought that what you felt inside was that I'd done things faster than you had.
In many cases you did.
Yeah.
You had children sooner than me. I remember giving you a machete for your 50th birthday in Thailand. So that means that you were 50 years old in Thailand and already had one child in university and two others in one out of school, one still in school, and you dragnetted some of them to come to visit you and stay with you in Thailand for 6 months, in my case. And where was I doing at 50? Not anything like that.
No. You weren't there yet.
Yeah. I did a lot of things on my own beforehand.
Yeah.
I remember I was traveling in Cambodia and a doctor I was working with turned to me suddenly and said, "You're from the Globe and Mail, aren't you? You come here to photograph from the Globe and Mail." And I was shocked. I was, oh my God, I could never work for the Globe and Mail. No, I'm nobody. I'm just sneaking in and taking some photos. I don't know. Oh my God, you thought that? But
I worry about the cats.
Oh yeah, I worry about the cats. And we should make dinner too. Did you want some pasta?
No.
You're not hungry?
I'm not hungry.
Okay. All right, I'll let the cats in.